I go under.
I think it's...
You think so?
That's a very creative contest.
Isn't it?
It is.
Six.
I had this other idea where second to last place has to do a lemonade stand.
I bet you can do it in four.
You think I can eat 24 pancakes in 4 hours? Speaking of mistakes, I think the mistake was joining this fantasy league. We're just going to start right at the top.
It's great. I'm
for people who don't know the context behind before we got started recording, I am dead last in a fantasy league that involves Will Metcher and some other book guys for EPL, for the Fantasy Premier League. And as a punishment, I have to sit in an IHOP or a Waffle House for 24 hours minus 1 hour per pancake that I eat.
Is it official that you're going to be last?
I think I'm dead last. I might be second to last, which means I might have to do the lemonade stand at a major intersection in our city, which is also a great punishment.
Wow.
You're dead last. Oh, bro. Yeah. You're dead last, and you're 5 points out with one game left. So you're toast.
I'm toast.
So which is the worst punishment?
I'd rather have the pancakes.
I'd rather have the pancakes too.
Yeah, me too.
Pancakes.
I could actually go for some pancakes, just talk about them.
I can also just not eat like 3 days beforehand, just fast it, and then just like slobber all the pancakes that are in my throat.
I wonder if there's a record for this.
I don't have to pay for them if I get them done in an hour.
We're underway. We're recording this, so
yeah.
We should talk about something of substance. Not that pancakes aren't substantial.
I think in the industry they call this a soft entrance, where you kind of like just in podcasting this is pretty popular, where you're kind of like, oh, we just got dropped into the middle of a fun conversation. Yeah. Oh, wow.
This is a very soft entrance. I'm enjoying it.
How about that, Tom Brady?
Soft like Jergens.
So, Andres, I have faith in you. Matt Stone holds the record for eating 113 pancakes. You want to guess how quickly?
35 minutes. I don't know.
8 minutes.
No.
What?
Well, hold on. How big are these pancakes?
Yeah.
No way.
113 pancakes in 8 minutes, which is a world record.
They're not Cracker Barrel size.
Stone ate the pancakes to the soundtrack of Danger Zone from Top Gun and You're the Best Around from Karate Kid. He beat the second place finisher by 24 pancakes.
Whoa.
Which is still insane because the other person still ate, 82 pancakes or 81 pancakes?
That's a lot of pancakes.
91 pancakes.
Just to be a loser.
We should stream that live.
And they know their failures.
It's so irrelevant to anything that we're talking about today. That sounds like we'll ever talk about.
That was a huge mistake.
Yeah, pancakes rhyme with mistakes, which is what we're talking about here today, thanks to one Quinton Roberts, who did not show up to today's meeting. And but we're still going to do his project. We still love Q very much. Hope you're doing well, brother. Haven't seen you in a minute. Come back and see us. All right. So Q's suggestion was that we went over the last 12 months and recognized the two biggest mistakes that we've made and the lessons that we've learned from that, whether that be personal or business. Now, given that Lee McCroskey is mainly just chilling, he said, I don't know if I've made a mistake in the last 12 months. So we've opened this up.
We've opened this up to two major
mistakes that you've made and how you overcame them. Is that fair? Is that fair for everybody?
I think that's fair.
Sure. Fair.
Okay. Now, does anybody have like a mistake that they're just, I can't hold it in. I have to tell people of my foul up, my mess up, my failure.
I just realized a mistake this morning. Should we start there?
Sure. Most recent.
Yeah.
I just got the books for our month of April for Southwestern Real Estate. We did very well in terms of revenue. We collected over $300,000 in revenue. We managed to lose money. $1,900 upside down. That's a mistake. And
are you allowed to share that on the air, or do I have to edit this later?
Well, sure. I mean, whatever.
You're the president.
I'm recognizing I made a mistake. somewhere. And I immediately emailed my CFO and I was like, we need to have a powwow on Monday. This is a horrible mistake. So.
All right. So what do you do? What do you do when that happens?
Yeah. Like,
realistically, how do you approach this?
You just quit.
Not my company.
See ya.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, you know, I take this stuff pretty seriously. If a company doesn't make money, you don't get to keep doing the thing you like to do. So I think this is going to be a deep drill down into some of our expenses. What's interesting about real estate is the, you know, common pay plans reward top producers with better and better splits, right? So when you start off, you kind of are sharing quite a bit with the company you work for, and they're training you a ton and investing in you. And as you produce and produce and produce, eventually it's kind of like, hey, we want to reward that production by paying you a bigger chunk of all your commissions. And that just keeps going to a point where our top salespeople earn 90% of the commissions that they bring in. And believe it or not, that's pretty market. And it's also, you know, there's a bunch of different models out there. And it was hard for me to believe this when I first started, because I thought we run a pretty lean operation over here. So, you know, if those people are producing a ton, that's still good business for us. We should be making profits on that. We really make very, very small profits on the people who produce the most. And I'm guessing if we drill back down into it, the majority of that revenue came from the people who are producing the most, and they turned it out. And so not enough newer contributions to help balance that out, which is usually how we'll end up with a good month. You get production across the board. And when it gets lopsided and you've got all your top producers blowing it out, it's not super profitable. So I got to look into that, and we got to figure out how do we get more of our new agents, you know, successful so that they can help balance the top end.
Well, now that's interesting, because that almost from an agent standpoint, that's brilliant. The more I sell, the more I'll make, and the less I have to dish back out. But from a company standpoint, the incentive then is really heavily to recruit then, right? Or like to have newer agents all the time. Is that, or how does that work? That's interesting.
Yeah. So the strategy needs to be recruiting and bringing in the right kind of people that, you know, can help, you know, build. I love selling real estate. It is super fun, and it pays well.
Yeah.
And recruiting doesn't pay as well. So dedicating as many hours to it is a challenge. But we've added some really cool people through, you know, what did we call it when, you know, team member?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. We've added awesome people through our connections with Southwestern Advantage and through team members. And that's kind of how we've attracted the people we've gotten. We don't have an official recruiting strategy that's, you know, intense and broad and whatever. And that's a little bit of an issue. We got to figure something out there.
Hmm. Well, if you're listening now and you're looking for a career change, hey, there you go. Southwestern Real Estate might be the answer.
Be a top producer and make 90%.
Yeah. That's right.
Nope. Well, that is a little bit. What do you call it? When it's like, it's counterintuitive is the word. Because like, it's a really easy recruiting tool to sell it that way. You go, hey, look, once you're up and running and you're jamming, you're making most of the money for yourself. So it's an easy recruiting tool to help people enter and to sell this long-term career, which is probably why you have so many people who stay.
Right? Yeah.
The opposite hand of that problem or that challenge is now you need to have more front door activity. But it's a really, once you get them in the door, it's pretty simple to just be like, hey, I can paint this picture of this career, not just because I'm selling you a load of crap. It's because I can show you examples across the country of people who are making a ton of money because they just stuck it out and they persevered and learned the industry and just did really well. That's cool.
Unlike the old OL pay scale.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like the opposite of that. It doesn't really reward longevity and top production.
Tiny little percentage. So whatever.
Or most companies, right? Like when you start getting to the top, it just like I feel like it's backwards. But that's fascinating.
Yeah,
that's a good mistake.
Thought of a mistake, but this was somewhat years ago. We had a delivery product at Southwestern that we were trying to use as a tack on, where you would tack it on when you were delivering. And it was an Olympic year, so that it was called Go for the Gold. It was an Olympic book, Time Life or something.
I sold those.
Yeah, congratulations. So we sold them, and then we had this massive inventory left over. What I did.
And then what do you do?
What are you going to do the next year with all those books?
Yeah, it's like they're totally dated. No one cares about the Olympics that happened a year ago. So I made the brilliant move. I said, well, let's just send them to the alums. So we just offloaded all these books for free to alumni and paid for the shipping and the whole thing. And it was just, I don't know how many, 30 grand or more. I mean, it was a significant amount of money. And so I got to go up to Bob Searcy's office and explain, here's kind of what I was thinking. And all I was thinking was reduce inventory, because that was also a priority. But that was a mistake.
Wow.
Anyway. And how did I recover? Grace. Bob said, well, you're doing a good job. We'll just forgive you and not take it out of your salary. So that was nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's the only one I made a mistake.
Wait, so whose idea was it to get the Olympic books?
Yeah,
that's the question.
I think I'm pretty confident it was Dan. So he had.
Way to go, Dan.
But Dan doesn't make mistakes, though.
Everybody likes
that's Dan. That's why he's not on this call, because he wouldn't have anything to talk about. Anyway, Andre, what were you going to say?
No, I made a mistake. I don't mean to. This might get awkward. But
ooh, let's go.
Here we go.
I will own up to all of it. That was me, as I have so far, I believe. But I made a mistake of not doing my homework when it came to selecting appropriate travel agent for Bizzler last year.
Yeah.
That was a mistake. Whopper. I was like, for how much the podcast humbly makes versus what it cost, it was a big mistake. But
Lee,
you know,
were you on that one?
He was supposed to.
Yeah, I was supposed to, but I had,
you were like, the travel agent sucks so much, I'm just not going to go.
No, it was a year ago, right, Andre?
Yeah, it was about this time last year.
That was one of the mistakes I was going to talk about. Is I actually played pickleball and tore my Achilles.
Yeah. Oh,
days before the trip, and I'm just like, Andres, I can't go. So that was another mistake. I'm coming up with all kinds of, but anyway, Andres, tell us a little bit. You want to tell us more about
that's good. By the way, come to our Bizzler trip. We're going to Antigua this year. It's gonna be fun. Pat's coming. Lee's coming.
Pat's
Will?
Going.
Will?
Yeah, we'll see.
Come
we'll
on,
see.
Will.
We'll see.
When is it? I probably have something going on.
September 19th. I called your wife. She said you didn't have anything. September 19th through the 23rd.
Clear the deck.
Yeah.
Answer that objection. Boom.
Anyway, do you want to go into more detail about?
Yeah. So, I can go into some detail. And I've done a lot of personal reflection because I think I was heated at the moment. And so this is the lesson I learned, is in business, when you make a mistake, and these are things we've known from Southwestern, but it's so much more difficult when it's your baby or like your cash. It's like when you make a mistake, when you're selling books, it really costs the company money. It's not really, unless it's something you do personally, like you hit a dad or something, or you hit a puppy when you're driving out of the driveway.
Hit a dad?
No, I'm saying like, you know, there's book from the episodes that we've done, there's people who've made mistakes that was like, okay, you did that to yourself. That's why you ended up in jail or whatever. You didn't get a permit,
sure.
Right? But sometimes, usually like when you're in the book field, 90% of the time, if you make a mistake, it's just costing either time or money to the company, but you can like pretty much get out of it unscathed. So when it's like your thing, it hurts. And so it's a lot harder to keep that emotion in check, to not feel. And even if it's like not intentionally that things happened, it just could have been bad communication. It could have been what, like I said, the part I own up is I should have just done my homework and how all this works. However, the part where it's not really my fault is the reason I hired an agent was to make sure that I didn't have to know what I didn't know. So it's catch 22, right? But long story short, there's different kinds of contracts that you can get when you have a group going out. So the ones that we're familiar with, like Sizzler, these are they're all kind of booked out the same way, but how you have to pay and how things have to get deposited are different. And so when it's something like Sizzler, where they for sure are going to need those rooms booked out because we're for sure going to have a group of people coming out, you know, during Thanksgiving, is a little different when things are due than when the way we have it now, where it's like, hey, we have Bizzler coming up. We don't really know exactly how many people, these are how many people we're expecting. We can book out these numbers of rooms tentatively, but if we don't fill those rooms, we can just kind of let them go, no harm, no foul. And then whoever did pay, we got them in, essentially is the difference. And so I didn't know that. And so, and again, I don't know if it's because I miscommunicated or the person on the other end misheard or how it all ended up happening, but long story short, we get to about this time last year and the travel agency company is like, hey, so you owe like 40 grand or whatever it was. And I was like, well, that's not what it was like last year. So why do I owe 40 grand?
Right?
And they're like, well, because we have to book these rooms. And I go, but I, last year we could just like kind of let the rooms go. And they're like, well, that's not the contract we got. And I'm like, how is that not the contract we got? So what I ended up finding out later is it was either complete incompetence from the Southwest, from the travel agency, or
we can throw them under the bus.
It was Southwestern Travel. It was either complete incompetence from Southwestern Travel or intentional incompetence. And I don't want to believe that it was intentional. So I think it was just a lot of things going on. And we, I mean, there's a whole episode that we did on the podcast in detailing how this happened. So if you're interested, go back and listen to that.
What's it called?
I can't remember.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah. But the mistakes I made on my end is just like, hey, you know, you're at the end of the day, the buck stops with me, and I'm the person that's putting this on, and I'm the person who, whether I like it or not, is in a lot of the face of the podcast, even though I hate it that that's the case, but that's how it sometimes comes out. And so because of that, I'm the person that's front facing to the people that listen, so to speak. And so it was my fault, you know, at the end of the day. And I learned from that mistake, and this year we got it all sorted out, way more organized. And the person that was helping us out, who was Cassandra Gardner, by the way, with Travel Odyssey. If you ever need a booking, a travel agent, she's Odyssey. it's Trav Odyssey.
Yeah.
She's great, and she knows her stuff really, really well. She knows about all the resorts, and more than anything, she dots her I's and crosses her T's really, really well. So it's been a lot more, I mean, it's just less stress this year because I kind of basically, her and Naomi, I put them in charge and go, hey, just get us to a cool place. I don't care. Let me know when and where I have to be there, and I will try to have as many people as possible come from my end. And it's been a lot more fun and a lot more smooth than last year. And I learned a ton about travel contracts. I learned about resorts. I mean, you'd be surprised the nightmare that we went through. And I was very, very stressed for a lot of months because it was that. And then also like things like with Lee that happened where it's like Lee tore his Achilles. Now he can't come. And then there was like four or five other people who had legitimate, legitimate reasons that they couldn't come anymore. And that was kind of a bummer. So it all kind of piled on, but
like if Lee's not coming, I'm out. That was the legitimate reason.
See ya.
Yeah. So that's what Deb said.
Yeah.
There goes the eye candy.
Hey, so Deb didn't go. My wife.
So Andres, what did you do about all the money? Did you get it to?
He's just heavily in debt.
I paid. Oh, so the way it worked out was that then we would have to cancel the contract, and then that was going to cost significantly less relatively.
No, just but to cancel.
But it's still like we lost money last Bizzler heavily because it was just like I think I ended up paying total, if I added it all up, it was like about $7,000 or $8,000, which again, to millions, a business that does millions of dollars, it's not that, that's a marginal error on like somebody missed
like
a comma.
That would just be like,
but for us, we're just a humble little podcast. That's a chunk of change, you know? And I mean, $8,000 isn't nothing, you know? I mean, I could have gotten people for free to go with that money. Like I could
Andres,
have
gotten
seven or my mom and dad to come or something, you know?
No, man, and that's spouses. Like your Lambo payment.
Yeah, that's my Lambo payment for my Lamborghini I that I certainly have.
Because of the podcast.
Of course, because we're rolling in that Southwestern and Cardinal money, dude.
Nice.
but seriously, it was it hurt a lot, and it was one of those things where I'm like, you know, this is why you freaking have to. It was naive of me to just trust that things were going to get done right, and you just got to expect that sometimes, even if you hire someone to do a service for you, whether that's a marketing company or in this case a travel agency, you just got to be prepared that maybe the person that you hired doesn't really know what they're doing. And it got made pretty clear that it was incompetent. Like, they had no idea what they're doing, because I refused to believe the people that I was talking to had ill intentions. I'll just say that. And so because of that, it's like, no, if that's the case, it can't be anything else other than you didn't know. Because there was phrases and things that were said that I'm like, oh, I knew that, and you didn't know that, and you've been doing this for years. But it's okay. We're going to Antigua this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
So hopefully that was therapeutic for you, Andres.
Yeah, it was.
You shared well. Well, what about you, Will? Have you made any significant mistakes that you regret?
Yeah, so there was this thing. You know, the mistake, it like takes 9 months for you to like fully recognize the, I'm kidding. Whoa. My wife doesn't listen to this podcast.
But your child will, years down the line.
Yeah. Like, I'd like to get to know my dad better. I found these old recordings.
Oh my gosh.
What? Daddy?
Oh man.
No.
So bad.
When he turns 18, I'm gonna make sure I send him this episode.
On that topic though, I don't know if it's a mistake. It's just, it's kind of like what it is as far as like the whole daycare thing goes. So like, we put him in, I love my son Nolan, he's great. We put him in daycare at like 3 months, and for the most part it's been good, but it's like he coughs wrong and he gets sent home from daycare. And I'm like, how much are we paying for them to watch over our kid? And it's just like, oh, he had diarrhea. Like, we're sending him home. Like, he hasn't had a normal poop like ever. Like, what's the difference in anyway? I feel like that may have been a mistake. I mean, I think in the long run, like, they talk about like kids' immune systems get better and, you know, they end up, they're like, you know, incredibly, you know, they can handle anything when they're like five.
They're resilient.
Hopefully that's true. Cause it's like, then he gets sick and then he comes home and like puts his hand in his mouth and like smacks me in the eyeball, and then I get sick and it like goes to my wife, and it's,
he's a walking Petri dish.
Yeah,
that is definitely true.
So if you need to excuse yourself and go to the bathroom, we'll understand if you run out.
Will's wearing a diaper right now.
Always. Yeah. Depends. It's where it's at.
He's not expecting his son to do anything he's not willing to do himself.
That's true. Yeah. Lead from the front.
And the back.
Or the back.
Lead from the front for the back.
So the mistake was you didn't send diapers or what? I'm not sure.
The mistake was just to get him in daycare. I feel like it feels like a mistake right now. I think in the long run, it's going to be okay. But it's, you know, it's like maybe for the first year, we just kept him home and figured it out or got a nanny or something. I don't know. But it's the challenge is my wife will go out of town and immediately I get a call from daycare like, oh, he pooped. We got to come pick him up. And so it's just a constant like, oh, man, and you gotta reschedule your day.
That's are they wild the only, that a daycare wouldn't take care there, of a kid pooping.
Yeah, is there another daycare handy?
Yeah,
but sensitive?
This one's like 40 seconds from our house. It's so close. It's so...
Should I ask how much is it to get a private room?
So, yeah, right. I mean, daycare, it's like $500 a week, I feel like.
That's bananas.
Yeah, daycare is very expensive right now.
Yeah, I just saw a thing in the news about it.
Yep.
Just I saw that too. Better.
I think they're trying to incentivize people to not have kids.
Ooh.
China.
It's working.
Care of all ecological problems. We can just party with the resources.
You made that mistake, Andres.
Yeah, got political.
Yeah, we just got political.
Trump. Biden, Trump.
I have a baby on the way. Is Kennedy. What I think Will's trying to say.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Kennedy. Oh, let's get political.
Yeah.
All right.
So, well,
let's go.
So the question is, so you're having doubts about the daycare move. Is that significant enough that you would actually make a change, dramatic change? Or are you just going to say his immune system's got to pick up from here and we're just going to live with it?
I think we're looking long term in this one and being like, he's just going to be better, you know, because then you look at the days where he's at daycare and like, you're energized when he gets home and he's like excited to see you. And then he's like been crawling around on the ground and playing with balls for 12 hours. And so it's like you get to hang out with him and then he passes out. So it's like you get some of that quality time, but it's not like stretched out over the period of a whole day where,
right,
it's exhausting.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to let it ride, but that's like the, I don't know. I don't want to sound like Lee and be like, that's the biggest mistake in the last 12 months, but.
Yeah, I thought of more mistakes. Ooh, as we
talk. Let's just stay on Lee.
Yeah, Lee. Also, last mistake number two for Will is not going to Bizzler last year. Don't make it again. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah,
Lightning round.
You got to rectify that mistake, Will. Come on.
It's true.
Mine, as I was trying to contemplate this topic, most of the mistakes I make haven't been huge, overt, public disasters, but they're more personal affronts. I either offend people by not listening, talk to Deb, or other people. So I've worked on that and gotten much better. And the other is just what I've said to people. Because my persona at Southwestern, to some extent, was based on who people perceived me to be on stage. And when I was on stage, for whatever reason, I was quick to, I was fairly sarcastic from what I understand. And
what?
Which was...
He blacked out.
I was going to say, it sounds like you blacked out when you were on stage. Like, what the hell did I say? I
remember for 35 years. But anyway, so... Part of me was like, well, this, you know, this is fun and this is funny and people laugh. But on the other hand, there was a person on the other end of that comment. Because, I mean, if I got heckled or anything went wrong, I just, it's like, hey, stand up. What's up with you? You know, it was like
lower. You'd point out yawns.
Yeah. Oh, I still do that in class. Excellent yawn.
There's a yawn.
So I give out awards for people yawning in class. But anyway, so that's a situation where if I had a microphone and I was at a bully pulpit from the stage, I could take advantage of people, and some people would wither under that. But you know, you got to laugh. So hey, and Dan actually kind of steered me in a different direction a couple times, and I was like, oh, whatever, Dan, goody two shoes, relax. But it was, I realized that that's a problem, that my tongue was not building people up. I was not edifying people.
So to follow up with that, would you have gone back? Like, would you go back if you could and change that? Like changed how you spoke on stage?
Yeah. Would you talk to 30-year-old Lee and go, listen, you're being such a meanie. You don't have to be like that.
Stop being sarcastic and probably, funny.
Probably not. I mean, it is. I've just tried to dial it back. It's not like an on-off switch. It's just using it less in a less insulting way. And I have to catch myself before I say it. Before, I didn't have much of a filter. It was just like, just whatever I thought of, it would fly. And it was successful as far as people's response, but I know I hurt people's feelings. So that was something to think about. And
yeah, also, but for every one person's feelings you hurt, you made like 10 people laugh.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
which is the point, right?
Comedy.
I mean, it's, I remember I, when I used to tell a story during cash collection about, and I stole this from Robert O'Reilly, about meeting a tremendously obese woman named Mrs. Patterson. And she, anyway, it's a whole story. It's a, like a mini dirt pile, but it's about this woman who's large. And she takes the roll of bills out of the top of her blouse and pays me, and she's living in a shack. You're just like, what? So the point is, don't judge a house by its cover. But I made I had probably 15 adjectives for fat that I would insert into that talk, you know, obese, rotund, you know, large. And I finally started to have people come backstage after the talk. You know, they were like, hey, I just wanted to point this out. And I was like, what? So the first time it was like, we didn't have the term snowflakes. I was just like, yeah, right. Okay. Thank you. Noted. Go back and sit in the crowd. Quit. You know, here's a Kleenex. But after that, you know, you had another person over the course of time. I was like, you know what? I don't need to tell that part of the story, right? I can change it. So tongue is one problem. The other is listening well for me. And that's just, I think a lot of people, when someone's talking, I'm already organizing my thoughts and my agenda. And one thing I was really good at in checkout was helping people decide to come back the following year. That's what I was known for. So if somebody had a problem case, somebody they really wanted to come back, they'd like go sit in Lee's office. And I would, like, it was an ego thing. And I didn't listen their mind open. I was just loaded for, you know, here's 22 good reasons and I've got them. It's all right.
Heard it all.
Oh man.
So give me an objection.
Yeah. So that evolved to where I'm a much better listener now, but I still have lapses. You know, you can ask Deb. But to my credit, I listened to a woman from church yesterday. I called her because she's really struggling with one of her kids who has multiple sclerosis. And she was just at her wit's end and just needed to talk. And I just like sat and didn't make a suggestion, didn't give her advice, didn't. I just was like, Jenny, I am so sorry. Just like intense listening. And that's all I did. And that's what I needed to do at that time. But I couldn't have done that when I was 30 something. I would have said, okay, well, here's three things you should think about.
Well, I think when I hear you tell that, Lee, it does tell me that you are a person, this will be a compliment and you're just going to have to receive it. You're a person committed to growing throughout your life because that is a real indication of personal growth to get from where you were to where you are. I mean, I feel like I work really hard at those same concepts and it's showing up in my life. I mean, Jenny used to say, I'm like, if I said something inappropriate in a gathering, which happened in a lot, she'd be like 90-10. And that was a code between us. Like, I said, you know, I think I just say whatever comes into my mind and 90% of it's actually pretty great. And 10% of it is really not. Right. And so that would be her little code to me.
That's good.
And a little while ago, she was like, I haven't said 90-10 to you in a long time. And so I just think there's a part of maturing and growing because, well, maybe not. Well, it depends on how you define maturing. There's people who get old who don't ever get better at that.
Right. Right.
And you're seeing that fruit.
I appreciate that, which explains why Deb always says 70-30. So
50-50.
No, I appreciate that. So I also remember, just to wrap up whatever comments I'm making about my tongue being a weapon or to my detriment, I remember Wanda Dickens, the former VP at Southwestern, VP of administration. You remember her?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I was on a mission to try to improve, you know, my standing at the company or whatever. And I just did a little informal survey where I sat down with a few of the execs, Jerry Heffel, and just asked them what I could do to improve. And she said, well, your biggest strength is also your biggest weakness. And I was like, huh? And she said, you're quick on the draw and you could, you know, you're witty and you can you speak well and quickly, but that's your downside. That's your drawback, because, you know, it's, and I just got that concept, which was very useful to me, that, you know, all of us have like a sword. There's two edges of the blade. One edge is our strength, and the dark side of the blade is our weakness. And so that thing that, which helped me so much in communication, also hindered me and hurt people, because I would just, no filter. So.
Beautiful.
Dang.
Yeah, but you know, the great thing is once you get feedback like that, it's so just self, just awareness is at least 50% of the battle. Just knowing that that's a problem. Boom.
Being able to receive that feedback too. And yeah. I think especially for the four of us, the people that are on here, I think we, knowing all of you guys personally too, like, I think it's our tongue can be one of our biggest assets or enemies. I mean, you speaking of that, it reminded me of someone in a high up position, and there was some frustrations with this person in a high up position. And I decided that I wanted to be intelligent and speak my thoughts to this person in the position, and sharing that I don't think she should be in that position. And it's probably not the smartest way of going about, hey, I think there's some areas of growth. Sure. And I, you know, I don't think it's, I'm still here. I didn't get fired. So, you know, there's at least some positivity from this, but, you know, looking back, and, you know, Pat, to EQ's credit, you know, I think I've had some emotional reactions to things where I'm like, I want to speak out and say something, and that's probably not using my emotional intelligence here. And maybe I should talk to somebody else about this first to alleviate some of my emotions and frustrations and tensions. And I think that was one of the biggest shifts. If you look at the beginning of this year. So for those of you who don't know, like, Pat and I, we work closely with an EQ coach, and having a conversation with her and being able to talk through, you know, some of the challenges, and you know, and I want to point this out too. I think every company, we're all humans, we're all broken. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be, you know, people that make mistakes, including myself, and people have said things to me that are negative, and like, there's an ounce of truth in all of it. But, you know, being able to work through recognizing where it is okay to speak out, and recognizing where it's okay to, like, how would this be received? Because even though some of the things that I was saying may be true, there could be some validity there. It's like, this isn't going to move the needle, and this isn't going to serve in helping out. So,
right. Right. Yeah. Beautiful. Same experience. In 1990, I decided I could change the company merely by railing in director meetings about how we were Jurassic Park. And, it didn't go well.
But the thing is, like, that's the hard part, right? Because you were right.
Yeah.
Which is why you're not, you know, in long budget cuts, right? That's why Pat and Lee are not speaking at sales school this year for the first time in decades, right? And
you're saying I'm not speaking because of what Lee did?
No, I'm saying that they were Jurassic Park, and this has been a criticism of the company that we've had on the podcast a lot about how they take forever to change. Back to that, you know, it's all funny how it all comes back to full circle, right? The greatest strength is the greatest weakness, right? Including for Southwestern. The greatest strength, it's longevity. Yeah. Its greatest weakness, it's longevity, because they are so slow to change and to improve and to move on, right? That's why they're still selling books in 2024, which it's like, bruh, move on. On to what Will said. Have you guys ever read a book called A Day No Pigs Would Die? It's like an eighth grade read.
No.
Beautiful book.
I think I can handle that.
It's like a coming of age. Yeah. Perfect for your,
you said eighth grade reading level.
I think we read it in eighth grade. It's like a coming of age story, kind of like a separate piece by John Knowles, or like,
what's it called?
To Kill a Mockingbird. It's called A Day No Pigs Would Die. Actually, Mr. Newfather here, solid for parenting, but one of the things, it's a beautiful story, and at least I remember it being that way, but one of the quotes from that book that I've carried with me that I've never learned this lesson, and I'm likely trying to learn it early, hopefully before I look back and have to tell my 30-year-old self, which is now going, hey, idiot, you should have learned this earlier. There's a quote in it that says, never miss an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. And I love that quote because sometimes I'm like, oh, I missed that opportunity. That was a mistake. I should have not missed that opportunity to shut up. But it's hard because in the standpoint of what you said, Lee or Will, like you were coming at it from an intention of, I want to help. I'm trying to help this. I'm trying to improve. And so it's hard to discern. I think the real wisdom is knowing when this is the opportunity to keep your mouth shut. And no, you have to say something because this isn't okay.
Yeah.
Because there's for every time you've made a mistake where you said something that you shouldn't have, there's probably been a whole other set of times where you're like, I should have said something and I didn't.
Yeah.
And I messed up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how do you know? Does time tell and then you just learn from those mistakes as best you can? Or is there a good strategy to look at this and go, hey, this is the worst case scenario if I don't say something, and this is the best case scenario if I do, and then you weigh those options and hope for the best. I don't know. What do you guys think?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is how much of what I'm wanting to say is ego-driven. Because, and again, you know, when you're young, you know, it's important to develop a sense of ego to learn who you are, right? But then as you get older, it, like the healthier person kind of looks at ways to break that down over time. And I think where I've gotten myself into trouble was saying things to bolster my ego for whatever I wanted it to be, whether it was I need to be perceived as this or that or the other, you know, funny or powerful or wise or whatever. And if I'm really saying things to, you know, build up my ego, there's a real good chance it's not necessarily useful for the group, you know?
Because it's you-centered.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Hmm. And I think kind of, you know, asking the question, how much of this is me just needing to be a voice that's heard? You know, I just feel like I just need somebody to hear me and I need to say stuff that's useful for other people versus or because I just want to do it. I just want to be the person saying it versus is this actually helpful for anybody besides me? And yeah. I think that's a question that I think I'm more prone to ask that I never used to ask.
That's good. That's really good. And you got to consider the recipient, because it's not what you intend to say, it's how it's received. That's the communication. The communication is never what you intended to say, it's always how it was taken. So I learned that repeatedly, and I'll say this on other podcasts. The most prime example is trying to deal with Jerry Heffel. Jerry Heffel and I like Jerry Heffel. Sometimes it was frustrating to deal with him because he was so analytical and so detailed. And so what I would do, my tendency would be have an idea, share it, and be enthusiastic. So I would pass him in the hallway and say, hey, Jerry, I was just thinking about that. You know, he'd be like, that's great. Why don't you write it up in a report and give it to me? And I was just like, oh, that's not how I would like to communicate. But he needed to see something, read it, charts, graphs, and that's how you influence Jerry. But I didn't ever consider my audience. I would just like pop off. And the people who enjoyed hearing pop off ideas, they'd be like, yeah. And the rest. So kind of back to DISC or, you know, one of those personality profiles or the Enneagrams.
Yeah.
Knowing who's on the other end is important.
Yeah, that's a good point. Along the same lines or similarly is like, you know, it's okay to talk when you've been asked to.
Yeah.
Right. Like kind of like you were talking about Deb. Like sometimes Bree comes home from work, she's frustrated and she just needs me to. So I'll ask her right away. I'm like, okay, well, what are you looking for here? Are you looking for advice or do you mean to just listen? You're using me because I know the context, so I know what questions to ask, but you're not asking me to give you advice. She's like, no, I just need you to, I'm processing. Like, all right. And that's saved, because it used to cause a lot of arguments in our marriage where it's like, I would just start immediately trying to solve a problem. Yep. Classic man, right? And then she's like, I don't need this. But in the same way, like in the company, for example, did they ask you to try to fix the company? No. So that's probably why it felt like you shouldn't have talked out of order. But then there's other companies that are like, all right, anybody, spitball ideas. How do we fix this? And then that's a good time for you to speak up. So I think what you're saying is perfect. Just consider the recipient, and are they asking for?
Yeah. This this person was not asking for someone to ask them to step down. I don't think that was their intention. So recognizing the audience is important.
Not what they needed.
Yeah, yes. They got what they needed. Hey, but you know, that always reminds me of what Alan Clements taught us about how do you develop judgment? And so, like in your case, Will, you needed judgment before you went into that encounter. So he'd always say, how do you develop judgment? From experience. How do you develop experience? From poor judgment. So that
kind of takes time.
You just make mistakes and learn, you know.
Yeah. So. Also, I lost it. I was gonna. Dang it! I love the way you said, and I lost it.
Can you say that again?
Well, here, let me hitchhike on the end of that, because this still, I know people who make the same mistakes, and they're old people, and they're not self-aware at all.
Yeah.
And they're just doing the same thing over and over and over again and annoying all the people around them. And that's just the way it's going to be till their last day. So yeah. I think that, again, to be a person who gains experience has to have a desire to actually be better. You know, they have to be looking for ways to, you know, improve, or at least sensing that that's a good use of a life.
Yeah. All right.
Is it experiences? Experiences that thing that you get just right after you need it.
So how do you not?
Maya Angelou.
Yeah, is that what, yeah. So you attach Mark Twain.
Mark Twain. Just
Mark Cuban.
Michael Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that people. It's like, I didn't ask for you to, like, it's like, mind your business, until people say, mind my business. Like, that's the mind mistake we learned. No. Mind your business until I need you to mind my business.
That's good.
That's the lesson we learned. Andres that's Gamboa.
Idiomatic.
Check.
Oh, man. This is a good, this might be a good stopping point, fellas.
Yeah, let's that was a drop it. The mic line right there.
Yeah. Let's go.
Mind your business.
Mind your business.
Mind your business until I ask you to mind my business. Then mind my business.
Hear the music.
All right, we'll be back in a few weeks. If you guys have thoughts of this, message us if you're listening, all three of you. All right, thanks so much.
StreamYard, Will. StreamYard.
StreamYard.
That's right. And I'll let you know how the pancakes go.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
See you guys.